Monday, April 16th, 2018. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City. We are right here in Denver, Colorado. We are back again this week to discuss the world of sports with a dose of common sense, maybe just a hint of sarcasm here or there. I hope that you enjoyed your weekend. You know, it was nice. It was nice to have some things to watch this weekend, wasn't it? We had the NBA going. We had NHL playoffs going. We had baseball going. Spring is definitely in the air, starting to warm up a little bit. I say that as just last week we had some snow in Colorado, but we could feel spring coming this weekend, and it was a good weekend of sports for sure. And you know, we've got more stuff coming this season. I mean, do you realize the NFL draft is less than 2 weeks away? These playoffs are going to get further and further along. It is a busy, busy time of year in the world of sports, and it is really, really good if you are a sports fan. Hey, if you'd like to contact the show, let us know how you spent your weekend. We would love to hear about maybe some of the things that you did. Hit us up on email, dailydosesports@gmail.com, or go find us over on Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. Maybe you have a comment. Maybe you got a suggestion. You might have a question for us. Whatever it may be, we would love to hear from you. Hey, today on the show, we are going to take a look back at this weekend and discuss some of the things that we learned. We saw a number of games. We saw the start to playoff series in a couple different sports. There was plenty to learn by watching all of it. Plus, we do have a little bit of breaking news that I do want to discuss actually right now. First and foremost, it looks like Philadelphia 76ers center Joel Embiid has now cleared concussion protocol. They say he's not going to play in game two against the Miami Heat tonight, but that he could possibly participate in game three or four later this week. Now, Embiid said he's actually lost some weight since he suffered that broken orbital bone and a concussion in that collision with his teammate Markelle Fultz back on March 28th. He had surgery to repair that fracture in his face, and he missed the final eight games of the regular season. Now, we're going to be discussing the Sixers a little bit later in the show, but getting Joel Embiid back, that is very, very good news for Philadelphia. We'll have to see how he plays. You know they're going to be putting him in one of those masks. I've seen players, a lot of players, try to play with those masks on. It takes a unique individual to not allow that to be a distraction and to focus on the task at hand, because everything about what you're doing is changing. Your vision is different. It feels different. You're breathing different. It's going to be an adjustment for Joel Embiid, but good news if he can come back and start to contribute to that Philadelphia 76ers squad, especially if they do go deeper into the playoffs. He could be better the further along he gets. Now, all news coming out of Philadelphia is not quite as good, though, because it seems that Philadelphia Eagles cornerback Daryl Worley, he was arrested early yesterday morning after he was allegedly found passed out inside of his vehicle that was blocking the highway. The Eagles actually confirmed Worley's arrest and said they were in the process of gathering more information. Now, you might remember, Worley was traded to the Eagles by the Carolina Panthers back in March in a deal that sent wide receiver Torrey Smith from Philly to Carolina. Now, it sounds like when Worley woke up, he was kind of combative with the police officers that were there. He had to be tasered, apparently. So we're going to have to kind of see what the Eagles are going to do with Worley. We're going to have to kind of see what kind of legal implications this all has and whether or not the Eagles feel like he is worth dealing with. Something to kind of keep an eye on. Not every single thing coming out of Philadelphia this weekend was actually good news. Also, in a related story, apparently Philadelphia Eagles running back Jay Ajayi has announced he will be changing his jersey number from 36 to 26 because of all the respect that he has for former Eagle Brian Westbrook. You know, it's kind of a nice gesture by Ajayi that he thinks that highly of Brian Westbrook that he says, hey, I'm going to switch numbers. I'm going to wear 26 instead of 36 because I just think Westbrook was a special guy. He says, last year, 36 was just what they gave me. It was what was available. But now, I feel like I can change it to something else and just kind of honor Brian Westbrook, who I feel he was kind of a model for me to model my game after. So just kind of a cool thing. another little bit of news coming out in Philadelphia. The Eagles also announced that Darryl Worley will also be changing his jersey number 2 from 26, which is what he wore with Carolina, to, let's see, number 284391. And he's going to be doing that out of respect for the Philadelphia penal system. So, you know, a couple of numbers changing for the Eagles right now. Kind of some things you're going to keep an eye on. The Eagles have had a good offseason, but they've also had now two guys get in trouble with the law. Might want to be careful not to have too much more of that. You know, we had a surprise in the Premier League over the weekend. And when I say surprise, I mean not really that much of a surprise. Manchester City has officially won the Premier League title after second place Manchester United was stunned at home by West Brom on Sunday. What? Of course, there are still a few games remaining, but now no one can catch the Sky Blues. Man City has this locked up. We already kind of knew that they did because Manchester United had to win all 6 of their remaining games, and they had to hope for Man City to lose all 5 of their remaining games. And we knew that wouldn't happen. But now it's official. So with like 5 or 6 games left, the champion of the Premier League is crowned. What a grand finish to the season to win your championship while watching on TV. You know, like God intended. Hey, coming back, we have got to get to the weekend in sports. It was actually a pretty good weekend if you spent any time watching some of the bigger events. I watched a lot of playoff basketball, watched a lot of playoff hockey. We are going to discuss what we learned from all of it when we get back. You know, like I said, it was a pretty solid weekend of sports as we saw the NBA playoffs get started. The Stanley Cup playoffs are underway, and we had some Major League Baseball and even a little bit of NFL news. But of course, here at the Daily Dose, we pride ourselves in trying to be a little more informed than the average sports fan just bashing a can of beer on their head. So what did we actually learn from the weekend in sports? We got a number of things we learned this weekend. You know, we learned that the Dallas Cowboys think wide receiver Dez Bryant's best years are apparently behind him. The Cowboys cut the longtime wide receiver over the weekend, and primarily it was because Dez was set to count for about $16.5 million against the cap this year. And it didn't sound like Dez was going to be willing to redo that deal at all. Plus, when you add in the fact that his production has been dropping since he has suffered those foot and knee injuries, you know, what do you do if you're Dallas? You can't keep paying him that amount of money when he's not producing. You know, I think looking at Dez Bryant, I think he has struggled to change his game since those injuries. Hey, I think he can still play a little, but you're not Randy Moss. Like, we can't just throw it up and you'll just go get it every single time. I think those days might be over. And so I think at this point in his career, I think Dez Bryant has to kind of transform his game a little bit. Maybe he becomes a Larry Fitzgerald. He becomes more of a possession guy. He catches those tough ones over the middle. And then, hey, if he can run with it, if he can do something with it, great. Maybe he needs to try to become someone like Anquan Boldin, who became a contributor to the running game later in his career with his blocking. Hey, Dez is a big, strong guy. Can he do either of these things? I mean, I guess we'll see. But it looks like Dallas doesn't have much faith in it. And it looks like Dallas is looking at Dez saying, hey, you're just not worth that price tag. Now, you would think that there would be a number of teams lining up to go get him. I would think, depending on the price tag. But I mean, I would think a team like the New England Patriots, don't you think they're going to go after Dez? Washington, I could see Washington trying to get a couple more weapons. The Indianapolis Colts, we know they need any weapon they can possibly get. What about the Carolina Panthers, who have struggled to find wide receivers for Cam Newton? You would think they would have an interest in maybe signing Dez. Going to be interesting to see where he ends up, but Dallas clearly thinks his best days are behind him. I learned watching a lot of NBA playoffs this weekend. I learned that the Toronto Raptors might be the number one seed in the East, but they didn't make it look easy, did they? They trailed the Washington Wizards for a good portion of game one. Hey, John Wall is back. Washington looks like they could at least maybe be a pain for a Toronto team. Let's all be honest. None of us really have that much faith in, do we? The Raptors trailed at halftime. They led by just 1 going into the fourth quarter before winning the game finally by 8 points. here is the part that worries me a little for the Toronto Raptors. They shot 16 for 30 from three-point range in game one. Hey, that's pretty good shooting. You won by 8 points in a game that you shot over 50% from three-point range? Hey, don't go cold. You go cold, you're going to be in trouble. By the way, the win for the Raptors breaks an NBA worst 10 consecutive game one losses for the Toronto franchise, including six of those game ones that were played at home. They finally, you know, kind of get that monkey off their back. But at the same time, I'm looking at Toronto going, wow, can you shoot that well again? Because you needed every one of those points this last game. Going to be interesting to see what Toronto does going forward. They looked like they could possibly be in for a dogfight of a series here. We'll see how Washington responds after game one, too. I learned that the Golden State Warriors aren't quite done yet. And let's not forget that they can play a little defense, can't they? You know, playing without Steph Curry in game one, the Warriors just blew past the San Antonio Spurs on Saturday. You know, we always think of Golden State for all their offensive firepower, and understandably so. But they held the San Antonio Spurs to just 63 points through the first three quarters. The Warriors led by 23 before Steve Kerr just finally called off the dogs. And I don't know what it is. We talked about it a little bit last week. This San Antonio team, they just look off. And yes, I fully expect them to make a hard run at the Warriors in game two tonight, because I just think Greg Popovich will not allow his Spurs to go away quietly. But there is something funky going on with San Antonio. And when Greg Popovich is asked about Kawhi Leonard and he says, why don't you go talk to his people? I don't know. There is some funky bad mojo going on with the San Antonio Spurs right now. It is very, very foreign for a Greg Popovich team to have kind of this bad chemistry stuff going. Now, some good news for Golden State, aside from their win, aside from the good defense that they showed, aside from them being able to win a playoff game pretty easily, even without Steph Curry, was the fact that Andre Iguodala stepped into the starting lineup for Curry, and he didn't put up huge numbers or even have that notable of a game, but I think the Golden State Warriors are going to need him in these playoffs if they're going to go back and win it all again. If Iguodala can come back from that knee injury that has bothered him so much recently, it is going to be huge for the Warriors. We know their bench is not great, but Iguodala can be great. Can he go out and compete every single night? Good signs, at least, in the first game. I learned that Philadelphia 76ers rookie Ben Simmons, yeah, he was out to prove game one was not too big for him. The postseason is not too big for him. We weren't expecting all that much from Philly this year. And say what you will about Simmons, he's still a rookie. We didn't know what he would do in the postseason. We didn't know what he would do with the brighter lights. And hey, this game really matters. This game's pretty important. And Joel Embiid is still not playing. What are you going to do? Simmons was one rebound away from a triple-double in his first postseason game ever. He had 17 points, he had 14 assists, and he had 9 rebounds. And the Sixers, by the way, ran the Miami Heat out of the game by nearly 30. Now, Miami has shown a knack for winning close games all season, so I guess the Sixers figured, well, why don't we just not have a close game? We'll just blow them out early, and then that'll get rid of Miami. After trailing by 6 at the end of the first quarter, Philadelphia outscored Miami 101-68 for the remainder of the game. Yeah, I guess they're not going to come back and win that late, are they? Makes it real easy on yourself if you just blow them out early. Now, I still think this series could be interesting. I just think Miami could end up being a matchup problem if they could start playing well. But hey, got to take your hat off to Ben Simmons and the Philadelphia 76ers after that game one. Really, really impressive stuff. And Simmons has been really, really impressive down this final stretch of the season. He has looked so, so, so good. I know there's a lot of talk. Should he be rookie of the year? Whatever. Hey, I'd give it to him just based on what he's done since Joel Embiid has gone out. He has played so, so well. Hey, coming back, we are not done looking back at the weekend in sports. We still got a number of things to get to and what we learned from them. We saw some interesting NBA games yesterday, like we just talked about. And also, we didn't see some games in Major League Baseball that we were actually supposed to see. We'll get to all that when we get back. Just a quick reminder that if you do have any shopping to do, you might want to head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose, where you can find all the latest pop culture collectibles featuring your favorite TV shows, movies, and video games. April's Loot Crate theme is called Artifacts, and it features items from Marvel Comics, Lord of the Rings, The Legend of Zelda, and The Dark Crystal. But maybe you hear those, and you go, yeah, none of those franchises appeal to me one single bit. That's all right. Go over to Loot Crate. They have franchises for pretty much any TV show, movie, video game you can possibly think of. They have so many things over there. They've got things for your car, things for your house, things for your pets, things for your office at work. Maybe you have a certain franchise that you just love or you collect things on. Go over to Loot Crate. You are going to find exactly what it is you need. The best part about ordering from Loot Crate, when you check out, make sure you enter Daily Dose in the coupon box. We are going to get you 10% off your order. And who doesn't like to save a little bit of money when you can? Okay, we've got to continue on with some of the things that we learned this weekend from a very, very interesting weekend in the world of sports. Another thing I learned was that the New Orleans Pelicans could be a big problem for the Portland Trailblazers in these NBA playoffs. And more importantly, the New Orleans Pelicans and Anthony Davis could wreck Portland's really, really good season this year. You know, I didn't think New Orleans was going to be able to hang, honestly, because I expected Blazers guards Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum to completely outplay the backcourt of New Orleans. They're going to totally dominate Rajon Rondo and Drew Holiday, aren't they? Not really. I mean, Lillard and McCollum combined for 37 points. But Rondo and Holiday combined for 27 points. That's not that big of a difference. And when I say combined, I mean Holiday scored almost all of those 27 points. And also Rondo was there. You know, kind of like how me and Michael Jordan combined for 63 points against the Celtics back in 86. Similar sort of thing, except that Rondo, who is a much older player, who seems to be a much smarter player, did have 17 assists, and he did play really, really good defense. And that was the biggest key for New Orleans and Portland in this first game. New Orleans just played excellent defense. Portland struggled to do anything with Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis finished game one with 35 points and 14 rebounds. And the Pelicans get an important win in game one in Portland. Hey, Portland had better get some production from those guards. If they don't, oh yeah, they're going to be in trouble because you don't have an advantage in your front court. Anthony Davis is better than anyone Portland has. And I like Nurkic. I like some of the things he brings to the game. He can't hang with Anthony Davis. So you had better really, really outplay them with your backcourt. And right now, that is not happening. In fact, that is not even close to happening. Portland better find a way to get some things done with their backcourt. They really struggled in game one. You know, I learned that the Boston Celtics versus Milwaukee Bucks series, yeah, it might be really, really tough to watch, but it could be very competitive and very, very close. Game one on Sunday went to overtime. And yes, honestly, we watched that go to overtime and it just kind of felt painful to have to endure another 5 minutes. But hey, it was a close game, right? Here was the bad part. The Celtics and the Bucks combined for 35 turnovers. Wait, that wasn't the only ugly part of it. And 52 fouls on Sunday. Oh man, that's good basketball right there, isn't it? That's fun basketball to watch. A lot of fouls, a lot of whistles, a lot of guys bouncing the ball off their foot. Does it get any better than that? It's just good old-fashioned fun basketball to watch. Having said that, the game did go to overtime. We saw two great last-second plays. First off, we had a three-pointer by Celtics guard Terry Rozier to give Boston a three-point lead with 0.5 seconds left. Here's a clip from TNT.
To go one-on-one and finish the game off.
Bledsoe guarding Rozier with five fouls. He goes by, a little crossover, step back, wide open, and it's good! Ooh. And Boston has the lead! Terry Rozier!
But wait, it wasn't over. Because with 0.5 seconds left, Milwaukee still had a chance for a catch-and-shoot situation. And so now, here's another clip from TNT, where we see Chris Middleton send the game into overtime.
Celtics are going zone right now. Look, there's nobody in the paint. All they are is covering areas. And they're not even, whatever situation, they don't care. They're just covering that area on the floor. And Brad Stevens does this quite often.
Who's going to get the shot here? Gets it in. Middleton for the tie.
Oh my goodness.
Chris Middleton ties it with a long range three.
Absolutely crazy finish to this game. Of course, the Celtics would go on and win the game in overtime. It wasn't a real pretty game to watch. It wasn't a very entertaining game to watch, but it was a highly exciting finish, I guess. You know how people say that the NBA sometimes isn't worth watching until the final 2 minutes? You know, I don't always like that. Like, I don't always agree with that.
Well, yeah, turn it on the last 2 minutes and that's the best part.
Well, yeah, that's the same for any sporting event. I guess you could say that about anything. But like, I want to watch the flow of the game. I want to see possession by possession and see what teams do. But when I hear that and I hear people say, hey, just turn it on for the last 2 minutes and that'll be the best part of the whole game. Yeah, for this Boston-Milwaukee series, that might be absolutely correct. Because I don't know if I can stand watching the first 46 minutes or whatever. That was brutal to watch yesterday. But I will say this, the last 2 minutes were really, really good, really, really entertaining. I don't know if it's just going to be that kind of series. Maybe it is. We'll just have to see where that goes. You know, I learned that the problems that the Cleveland Cavaliers have had during the season, yeah, surprisingly, they're not just magically going to go away in the postseason either. Yes, I fully expect LeBron James to carry the Cavaliers past the Indiana Pacers. But he couldn't do it on Sunday. The Pacers jumped on Cleveland early, led most all of the entire game, and then won easily by, 18? They were up by as many as like 24, 25 in the first half. And once again, this Cavs defense, they just look really unmotivated. They don't look that driven to play hard defensively. And that might be the most frustrating thing for me watching this team. Because defense, you don't have to be overly talented to play defense. Like, it helps. But you don't have to be this crazy, insanely talented athlete to play defense. A lot of playing defense is just going out and playing hard. Just going out and working really hard and just saying, hey, you're not going to score on me. You're not going to get the ball. We're not going to allow layups. The Cavs defense doesn't do that. They allowed Pacers guard Victor Oladipo to go for 32 points. But here's the bad news. As bad as that is, we know that the Cavs defense is bad, right? It's been bad all year. It's been bad the past few years. We know that. The Cavs offense was bad too. They shot just 23% from three-point range. Hey, Cleveland, if you're not going to play defense, then your offense has to be really, really good. Like, you have to be one of those teams that says, hey, okay, we're probably going to allow 125 points or whatever, but we're going to score 130, so it doesn't really matter. Yet they couldn't get either one of those going on Sunday. And I know that there is this feeling that, hey, once they get in the playoffs, talked about it last week, they're going to flip the switch. Everything's going to get fixed magically. Everything's going to suddenly be better. Didn't look better on Sunday. I don't think this Indiana team is that great, but they move the ball. They're pretty unselfish. They put pressure on you to get back on defense. And that seemed to be a big problem for Cleveland. Not to mention the fact that they keep getting off to bad start after bad start after bad start. Seems like every single game, Cleveland spots their opponent like 20 points right off the bat. Hey, I don't know how much longer that can work. I realize the East is still bad. And the East is still bad. Make no mistake. Toronto is the top team. I don't know how good that team is. Boston is the number two team. I don't know how good they are. They're down with injuries. That East is soft. You can't keep doing this, though. Like, you can't keep spotting teams 20 points as soon as you start these games. Cleveland, they've got some issues to figure out. And that is a weird kind of collection of people. Like, they've put a lot of people together in that group. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Wasn't a great look for Cleveland on Sunday. Game two is on Wednesday night. Yeah, the Cavaliers might want to show up if they're going to get this thing turned around. I fully expect LeBron to carry them and get them through this series. But going to be interesting to see if they're going to be able to get this thing turned around or not. You know, I learned that in the Stanley Cup playoffs, did watch a little bit of hockey this weekend. I learned that if you want a competitive series, you should probably watch the Vegas versus Los Angeles series in the West or watch the Columbus versus Washington series in the East, because
the rest of these series in these NHL playoffs, they haven't been great. And it's not that they're all sweeps or whatever. I'm not saying that. But we aren't seeing very many close games. Seeing a lot of 5-2 and 5-1 and 7-3 and 7-0. If you're losing by a touchdown in hockey, yeah, it's a big, big thing. It's not like losing by a touchdown in football. And you know, some of the problem that I have is I still think this seeding formula that the NHL has decided to go to, it just doesn't make a lot of sense. It's just dumb. It's kind of confusing. I don't like it. Instead of seeding the conference teams from 1 to 8 and then playing them off, they're using this weird division format. And they've done this since 2014. The first, second, and third place team in each of the four divisions qualify for the playoffs automatically. Then they add two more wild card teams, whoever has the most points or whatever. Again, it probably sounded great in a boardroom somewhere. Like the NHL had like an owner's meeting, I don't know, in Canada, and they were eating maple syrup and wearing denim. And they sat around and they said, hey, you know what we should do? We should split the league into like four divisions, and then we'll take the division 1, 2, and 3, and then we'll get some wild card. Just go get the top 8 teams. I don't want to do that. And again, and I know we see this happen in league after league after league, I do not want to select the best teams in my sports league based on geography. I want to pick them based on who is the best team. The most points by each team should go. I don't care where you're located in regards to the Mississippi River or whatever it is. It's a dumb way to pick teams. And maybe this has nothing to do with how they pick teams. Maybe we just have lopsided series first round or lopsided games the first round or whatever it is. Maybe it's just a first round thing for the Stanley Cup playoffs. And that next round is going to be closer, tighter games. But we have not seen very many close games so far in the Stanley Cup playoffs. I am hoping that will change. Because there is nothing better than a tight, close finish in a Stanley Cup playoff game when every shift matters and the crowd is just at the edge of their seat. That is great to see. Saw a couple in those first two series I talked about, but other than that, a lot of blowouts. A lot of not very close games. One last thing that I learned this. I learned that Major League Baseball might be starting their season way too early. You know, look, I realize baseball likes to pride itself on their season running for like whatever it is, 11 and a half months or whatever. But the season used to start about right now, about mid-April. That was when baseball used to start. Now, Major League Baseball starts their season at the end of March, and they just end up postponing a bunch of games. Over the weekend, there were a number of MLB games that were impacted by weather. Games in Detroit, games in Cleveland, games in Minnesota, all had to be postponed for snow or rain. In fact, not sure if you realize this, the Minnesota Twins have already had 4 games postponed this season. They have played 11 games. Again, I was told when I started the Daily Dose here there would be no math, but let me think about that for a second. So a quarter of their games have already been postponed. I mean, you can make the baseball season start in January if you want to. But you're just going to have to keep postponing these games again and again and again. So who cares? Like, just push the start back to mid-April like it used to be and get all your games in. I don't know if I understand why they're starting these things so early. And as a result, they just end up postponing a bunch of them. Then again, I suppose I could probably say the exact same thing for NASCAR, who is running their races earlier and earlier and trying to get more and more nationwide and running all over. And yeah, they're running into issues with the weather as well. Hey, you can move these up whenever you want to. You can try to drive the car with your feet if you want to. It doesn't make it a great idea. Hey, we do have a full week packed with more Daily Dose for you this week. We will be keeping you up on the latest and greatest in sports news. We will have some Daily Dose power rankings. We will have some overreactions of the week. And of course, later this week, on Friday, we will have our Daily Dose top 5. You know that you've always got to tune in for that. It is going to be yet another busy week here at The Dose, as this spring season is a busy, busy time of year in sports. Have to say thank you so much for listening to the Daily Dose on your Monday. Hopefully we got your Monday off to a good start. For all of you that share the show, for all of you that subscribe to the show, for all of you that text, that tweet, that listen, it is all very, very appreciated. Hey, if you are not subscribed to The Daily Dose, wherever you listen, please make sure that you just click that little subscribe or follow button so that you are sure not to miss a single episode. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all tomorrow. Have a wonderful Monday.